Welcome to the Maintenance Diaries podcast. Here are your hosts, Michael and Fred.
Let's go!
Welcome back to another episode of the Maintenance Diaries. Glad to be here.
Welcome back, y'all. Welcome back.
Yes, sir. I hope you guys are doing well, man. I'm doing good, bro. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Fantastico. Man, good to see you, man. Good to see you. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm Fred. And yes, today we're going to be pulling back the curtain on a very good topic of why good maintenance techs leave, supervisors leave, frontline staff walks away from this industry.
We'll break down the real reason people leave and the cost of turnover and what can be done to retain good employee, because employee retention is very important.
That's facts.
Yes, sir.
So what are some of the real costs of losing a good maintenance tech or office staff or supervisor, anyone in this industry?
Yeah, some of the losing costs, the average turnover costs per employee, that would be the new hires,
right,
is between $5,000 and $10,000, right? Right. $5,000 and $10,000.
Right.
So it costs you more to lose an employee than it is to retain that employee, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also the hidden cost with that is you have slower repair on the maintenance side. You also have customer dissatisfaction.
True.
Or resident dissatisfaction, because now work orders are not going to be completed in a timely manner.
Facts.
And also on top of that, some residents have a favorite maintenance technician that they like coming in their home, right?
Facts.
So now they see somebody new. They don't want to, a lot of us hate change.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to have that change to see somebody new coming into their home, because now they have to rebuild a new level of trust with the new person.
Absolutely.
So that relationship right there is severed because the good tech is gone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Also the ripple effect of how one departure from one of the teams, from either the leasing office or the maintenance staff,
yeah,
and also corporate, it can affect the entire complex.
That's true. And I definitely agree with you, because even till this day,
yeah,
I can contest for a fact that I still have residents that have my phone number when I worked with them,
mm-hmm,
years ago, still call me and wish, like, man, I wish you were over at our property, because half of the things that I know that you would have gotten done, they're not getting done. And the crazy thing is, I had a call like that today.
Wow.
Yeah. I had a call like that today, Mike.
Damn.
So that's why it's always good to build some type of camaraderie with the residents when they know, like, you're in their places and things, mm-hmm, can get handled at a timely manner.
Right.
They can call you for, not saying just about anything, but work-related, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that any stuff that's broken, they have confidence that you will fix it and get it done.
Yep. And also because they are accustomed to seeing, let's say you, for instance, mm-hmm, right? The residents, they're accustomed to seeing you. They are accustomed to the quality of care,
right,
that will be provided to them from you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now when a good tech such as yourself leave,
yeah,
then you have to build, the company have to get a brand new tech to come in,
mm-hmm,
and build that relationship again.
Right.
And once company loses great people, they actually lose a lot of trust with the residents, because the residents now would say, if you cannot keep good workers, how are you going to keep the prestige of the building?
Right.
And how are and how can we have confidence in you that our stay here is going to be a great one?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They can always tell when change happens in the building. Either their favorite person left or somebody that they can trust that can get things done. Every resident can contest that once, like, either they were in the lease up and the people that were the leasing staff that was there had leased the building up, and then the next company came in and took over. They always can tell, like, there's going to be some change in the building. They don't know what to an extent, but they know for a fact there's going to be change. And when it happens, they're like, I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. I knew they were going to not be doing this. They're not going to be doing that.
Yeah,
man, it's astonishing to see.
It is astonishing.
And sorry, my bad, Mike.
Oh no, you got it.
I wanted to kind of go back a little bit and talk about one of the key points that you said.
Yeah.
When it came to we talked like the ripple effect, like when we say how things happen, but the cost, like if they're averaging how much it costs to, you know, bring a person in and, you know, hire a person, train a person, $5,000 to $10,000. If you've created longevity with that company,
right?
Why not invest that money back into the employee that's spending the time there? You know, 5 years, 10 years, for every year that person has stayed and did their job. Yes. Why not just use that money and invest back into your employee?
That is what the company should do, because you have a great employee and you let that employee go, because let's say the employee decide to, maintenance technician or leasing agent, decide to look for a new job outside of the one that they're currently working at, right?
Yeah.
Before you let them go because they're looking for something, ask them why.
Right.
Always ask why. You know, why do you want to leave us? What can we do to make you stay? But you would let them go because a lot of owners think in their mind that when that person is gone and they post that position on the job board,
right,
somebody's going to come like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have someone that can come with all the credentials on paper.
Yeah.
But they have the personality suck, the character is trash.
Right.
And the residents don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
And now the residents say, hey, I stay here. Well, I actually renewed my lease here because of that leasing agent or because of that property manager,
right,
or that supervisor or maintenance technician, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of residents renew their lease because of the quality of service they get from the staff.
Right.
Right. So instead of posting the job online to waste another $5,000 to $10,000to hire somebody, because you have to do onboarding, you have to do training, you have to do drug tests, all that stuff costs money.
Yeah.
Why not add those dollars that you would, you know, let out the window by trying to hire somebody else, add it to the pay of the employee? Because the reason why they're leaving is not only because the culture might be bad, you know, but also because the pay sucks.
Yeah. And they
need better wages. So why not invest the money that you would spend to get somebody to bring them, you know what I'm saying, to bring them in, and just invest in the people that you already have and watch them go above and beyond for you and give you amazing results. And the results from the front office would be keeping the occupancy percentage at a stable number because of the service that they're providing. The maintenance and supervisors giving amazing service to residents by completing the task on time.
Right.
And not only completing the task on time, but also the relationship that they have built with the residents as well, right? So that is something that a lot of companies should do: invest in their employees.
That I agree with. They should invest in their employees. But also too, like even when what I'm realizing, because I've seen this from time to time, mm-hmm. from people that have left the company due to whatever grievances, whether it's money, whether it's it just wasn't a good environment.
Right.
They give you this interview at the end called an exit interview.
Uh-huh.
And this interview, they're brutally honest. Like this is the moment for them to get it off. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, not saying the middle finger to the company, but this is a moment to kind of cleanse their mind and say, hey, this is why I left. And I noticed that whenever these people do that, it doesn't change in the company.
Right.
And I've even talked to a few people that had exit interviews and they've given them, you know, the truth about how they felt,
mm-hmm.
What they could have done better to keep them, things that they needed to have the tools to be successful in the position that they were in.
Right.
And none of those things happened. So they, you know, flat out told them what was going on. Mm-hmm. And even after they left, like you still didn't see any change or anything. And that's been on more than one occasion. Why these companies give you an exit interview in the first place and not expect them to change from hearing what you had to say about what could have been done better? I never see them do any change from that. And I think it's just weird.
Yeah. And with the exit interview, a lot of companies, they would say, well, we hear you and we will do what we can to improve. And just let it go. Hey, Art, let's go ahead and get the new hires.
They let it go. It's like they read it and be like, huh? They let it go.
So with that said, bro,
have you
ever witnessed a good technician that left and what happened afterwards with the company?
I have, and then I have friends that are in the industry, of course, and mm-hmm. I've heard things from them where, you know, they've had guys work with them and then the supervisor was either a micromanager. Actually, I worked with a guy before, not me working with the guy, but my friend worked with the guy as well.
Yeah.
And they were both techs at the time. He's a supervisor mm-hmm. now, but he had a friend that was working with him as well. And the supervisor was this, you know, micromanaging, overbearing person. Like in maintenance, you don't have to micromanage the team if you know they're doing a good job. But he came in guns blazing and was like, I need to prove myself. So, you know, he's micromanaging everybody. And he had a guy that just like couldn't take it anymore. And he didn't, mm-hmm. like most of the time we look for another job. Yeah. Most of the time. But for him to just say, I'm not doing this anymore. Here's my keys and here you go. I was like, wow. And then even when that happened, he told me that, you know, he let corporate know everything that was going on,
mm-hmm.
why it was happening, and the issue just never got resolved. Never addressed it.
That's crazy.
Which in time made my friend leave as well.
Man.
And I'm like, wow. And he did the same thing. And fast forward, the guy's still there, still doing his thing, and nothing was done.
And I bet you, bro, I bet you that anybody else that come after your friend
mm-hmm.
is going to notice the poor leadership.
Yeah.
And it's going to, you know, one of the downfalls of great companies is poor leadership, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
is. Definitely. And then besides that, what are some, like, you know, we got into micromanaging. I gave mm-hmm. you that example. But what are some other reasons why techs end up quitting in the first place?
We have discussed this in previous episodes that you guys should definitely check out.
Check out that episode.
But the two main things
mm-hmm.
is pay and burnout.
Burnout is a big one too.
Burnout and fair wages.
Mm.
And I could elaborate a little bit. The responsibility of a maintenance technician is to do the work orders and do the upkeep of the building, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the groundskeeper who's responsible for the grounds, the trash, you know. If there are properties that have like dock stations, you know, the groundskeeper is responsible for that, right?
Right.
Some properties you have the maintenance tech, who's a maintenance tech doing groundskeeper work and doing clerical work and doing things outside of the scope of what they're supposed to be doing as a maintenance technician, which was described in the job,
description.
Description. Thank you. Right?
Right.
So a lot of burnouts can happen like that. And also a lot of techs, they can be busy taking care of something and the leasing, one of the leasing staff or somebody can pull them into this direction. Say, can you leave this for a while? Go over there, finish this real quick. It's very important.
Right.
Then by the time he go back to the thing he was doing originally, somebody else pull him to another direction. And he's just going all over the place. And by the time he gets back to complete his task that he was doing initially, it's 5 o'clock. It's time to go home.
Yeah.
So now you got to put off something that you could finish today for tomorrow because you could pull in a different direction.
Wow.
You have
that happens too.
Yeah,
that does happen.
And you're not being recognized or appreciated for the multiple hats that you wear.
That
saved the company money as well.
That's a lot of hats.
It is.
Also, too, another key point also that techs leave. Besides that, it would be like no clear training path, no career path or, you know, training opportunities. Cause like we stated before in maintenance, there aren't any, training opportunities. Like now I'm on LinkedIn more now than ever because now I'm on there with maintenance diaries now. So I'm looking at what companies are doing and, what they're doing for their employees. And I'm noticing now, like, some are starting to have like little minor training programs. Like they would train them like on plumbing a little bit. They would train them on a little bit of ACs. But, you know, those to me are given. You know what I mean? Those are given. Like you can easily learn those with no problem. I think a clear training path will also be to train these guys on the appliances.
Yes.
That's a big key to me. It's one of the things that I'm a very advocate for. Training on appliances and then, like, you know, having a career path for those guys to excel past the maintenance supervisor because it just dies with you right there. There's no corporate position for you with the up the ladder, and it's crazy how, like we said before, they don't consider maintenance supervisors part of that corporate ladder anyway.
Right.
Like you're just like a glorified maintenance tech. And then we're going to keep hammering that every single time because those maintenance supervisors need to be put in that position where they can all kind of be on the same level and be seen as an equal because they have to run the whole department themselves. Yeah. So the property manager is looking to the supervisor to handle his maintenance department, whether it's move-ins, turns, whether it's, you know, plumbing that's breaking for him to understand what's going on, any leaks in the apartment, you're still having to look for him to find a solution because if he wasn't important, then you would be able to just run that department on your own.
Yeah.
So I think clear training path and then also clear career path. And I want them to see supervisors as equals because I don't feel like they see it.
That is true, bro. That is true.
So I want to ask you a question, like, what's the breaking point for most techs when they do say enough is enough?
The breaking point is feeling like their voices have not been heard. Like I said, overwork.
Right.
Underpay. A lot of techs get into their breaking point is also because, like I said, burnout, right?
Right.
But because a lot of them are seen as less than, and sometimes the management staff also, you know, the vibe from the management staff can pass down to the leasing staff as well as seeing the maintenance tech as less than because his clothes is always dirty and it's, you know, always have paint and stuff on it. Looking like bums, but are some of the most important pieces to the industry.
That
right?
is wild. Yeah.
Also, when a lot of maintenance techs hear through the grapevine about the bonus structure that the managers get.
Right.
Right. And the bonus structure that a lot of supervisors should get and a lot of maintenance techs should get, they don't, right?
Right.
Like property inspections and pool inspection, elevator inspection, Leonardo, for those who use Leonardo. Mm-hmm. Once all those stuff are completed and you pass an inspection, you should be rewarded for it. Mm-hmm. The reason why you should be rewarded for it because it shows the knowledge that you bring and the value that you bring to that company by excelling in those things. So whenever you have an inspection, you always exceed the expectation of the property manager, the RPM, the owners, the property owners as well. So you should be rewarded. But instead, those benefits go to the management staff. The management staff is reaping the benefits for the work that the maintenance tech.
So what you're telling me, Mike,
is doing
is that when you say management staff, you mean property managers,
And
regionals,
regional property managers.
So technically, what you're saying is, a property manager in a regional gets more bonuses. They already get paid more.
Yeah.
Than a maintenance supervisor.
Yeah.
Or a service manager.
Uh-huh.
So you mean to tell me that even on top of that, they're getting more bonuses throughout the year because of what they're doing on the property as far as like maintenance, you know, saving money for one, or completing property inspections and getting a good score on it. They're getting rewarded for it and not the actual maintenance staff.
Right. That's absurd, isn't it?
Damn.
That is crazy, right?
So, excuse my French, but damn.
Oh, damn. Yeah, damn, for sure, bro.
If that's happening, and I can't wait till we get, somebody, get guests on here, because I want to hear from them, and I want to hear it truthfully.
Mm-hmm.
If that's happening, that's wrong.
It is wrong.
But.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it,
it
has happened.
Exactly.
Because I know a guy that's in this field. Mm-hmm. He had a property inspection, and he was supposed to get a certain amount of money on his inspection. Come to find out, his inspection was, he got maybe
a fraction,
a huge fraction of the money in. The major portion went to the property manager. And I don't know how that even happens, because his score was good. He got over 90. I think he had like a 98. He had 2 points taken off because he had an issue because the grills were dirty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he didn't have time to clean it at the time. But it's like when he got his bonus, it was like a slap in the face, because he worked hard about getting his property up to standard and making sure he passed everything with flying colors. But when he got his bonus, it didn't reflect
the hard work. Yeah.
And I remember him saying something like, bro, the property manager got this much and I got this much.
And he's a supervisor.
That's
the crazy part.
And he's on the property by himself. You know what I mean? He doesn't have a team under him because it's a small property.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do you do after that? Where do you go?
That is one of the breaking points that people would meet and say, you know what? Enough is enough. I am moving on to something else. And
wow.
And I'll say something about that.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why a lot of supervisors and techs, also leasing agent, they would... In their mind, they have already reached that breaking point.
Yeah.
But because the company only pays them enough to come back to work just to get some breadcrumbs, to barely survive, it makes them dependent on the check that they're getting. And it also subliminally tells their subconscious that they are not enough and they cannot do better than what they're doing right now.
That's crazy.
So they get comfortable in the space that they are because of the narrative that the company is pushing to them subliminally without them even knowing it. So, slavery is slavery is not over. The only thing slavery did is put on a suit and tie and went corporate.
And I know we're reiterating. I'm reiterating. So if those are the things that make the tech leave, that causes mm-hmm. him to leave, or causes anyone to leave, mm-hmm. what can we do to make him stay?
Fair wage and transparency. Fair wage and transparency.
That is correct. And also, too, transparency, yes. Mm-hmm. But, and I'm going to kind of go off the thing because, you yeah. know, I was listening to a podcast today. Mm-hmm. And the guy said that about his company of mm-hmm. how he keeps his employees.
Right.
And he listens to his employees. He runs his company with love. So if his employees need what he asked, what do you guys need from me first?
Right.
And he said,
right.
everybody's different. You know, some people would need mentorship. Mm-hmm. Some people would need more money. Mm-hmm. Some people will need, you know, just some guidance of what to do so that right. way they can do better in their job, whatever, which to me falls on the mentorship still. Mm-hmm. And some may need all three. And he said that's the first thing he do. He supplies them with the supplies that they need first so that way they can be more efficient at their job and be there for that the company. And he said right. he never has an issue because he's always pouring into his employees more than anything. And I think that right there is the way companies should run things. They should run their companies with love and with respect
yeah.
for their employees. So that way they're listening to them first and hearing what their needs are and meeting those needs. So that way they can, you know, have they can have the respect for the company and also loyalty to stay because
yeah,
he's taking care of my livelihood right now. He's taking care of my life, making sure that I'm good and I can provide for my family. I think that's the way companies need to run things. But, you know, like we said before, there's a disconnect.
It is. Yeah. Chain of command.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, to add to what you just said.
Yeah.
That should be the blueprint for how all companies should operate, Agreed. Right? And a lot of companies, not only the apartment community, but mm-hmm. even other companies as well, right? Whenever they start off small, the core value is there.
Right.
They really invest in the employees, right? And in the beginning, they don't have some of the business owners that started these business didn't have enough money to pay those employees. Mm-hmm. So they ask those employees to trust them and trust in their vision, right? And right. help them to make that vision come to a reality and mm-hmm. to see it through. Mm-hmm. And they would do everything that they can to pour out into the employee
right.
and to make that employee better and create that trust, which creates the loyalty, right?
Right.
And as the company grow, mm-hmm. and you start getting one investor here, another investor here, a shareholder here, a right. shareholder there, then the disconnect starts to happen because now you have these people or other companies that has a lot of resources that can help you get to the next level before you invest the resources into your business mm-hmm. by investing in your right. employees because your employees is your business. Mm-hmm. You're not helping them to take care of their family only. They're helping you to take care of your family because without them,
yeah.
there is no you. There is no business, right? But instead of that owner continue to invest in their employees because the employees have got him to this part now where he can sit down in a room with billionaires mm-hmm. to actually attract them
right.
to invest into his company, mm-hmm. right? He or she would turn around and try to please those investors now.
Yeah.
So now it becomes profit over people.
Yeah.
And the connection, the camaraderie, mm-hmm. the love and everything that was there, it just started to dissipate, slowly dissipate.
So if there's a connection issue between employee and and you know, the chain of command, how does good leadership change the game then? Like, where does good leadership start at then if there's a disconnect? So how can we meet that chain of command to the good leadership changing from this person to this person to this person to this person? How does that change the game, and where does it start at?
Good leadership starts with the person that is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are, well, let me bring it to head of household, right?
Right.
Or a parent. In order for that parent to have amazing kids, they have to be amazing. In order for you to give love to your child, you have to love yourself.
Because
if you don't love yourself, then what do you have to give?
Yeah.
You know? What, you don't have nothing to pour into that child to make that child grow up to become his best self or her best self, because you are not presenting your own self as best.
Mm-hmm.
You are not given a product that it's going to be successful and motivation to other people that look at you, right?
Right.
Because we are all a brand.
Yeah.
The best form of flattery is imitation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a product that is amazing,
yeah,
it attracts people. And for that to happen, the company owners need to ask questions. Don't look at the numbers and see, you know, how much you made this month compared to what you made last month. Ask your employees, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you happy here?
Yeah.
How has your experience been so far?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that I can do to make your job better or to make you better as a person? Because once you start asking questions, right, you will get the hidden answers that has been there within all the time. You just have to ask the right question and be intentional about asking that question. And don't ask the question to gain information to get the upper hand, but ask the question because you care, because you know that the investment you made into that employee, you want to see the healthy return of that investment. And the return of the investment is amazing growth. The return of investment is for leasing agents to bring in residents, to have the occupancy percentage at a stable number, for maintenance techs to be their best selves, providing excellent service, finishing work orders on time, finishing tasks on time, passing all property inspection.
Right.
All that comes from leadership. To be a good leader, invest in your employees and show them that you care. And don't show them that you care by sending an email or sending a generalized video.
Right.
Here is a video from your boss. No. No. Boots on the ground. Roll up your sleeve.
Yeah.
You know, so, show them that you care.
So those are what companies should be doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
They should be respecting the input from the frontline employees by asking, listening, and act on prompt questions that they're asking their employees. And whatever their answers they're giving, they should be using that to their benefit to kind of guide the company in a better direction towards taking care of its employees.
Yeah.
And then also, like you said before, creating clear paths for promotions.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing. And then invest in training and upscaling, of course.
Yeah.
But also, too, like the last episode that we talked about, about a main key point that we said about offering mental health support in realistic workloads.
Mm.
Like no matter, what I'm realizing now is like for every episode we do, everything's kind of tying into each other, because it's like we have a point here, and then we're taking these points, but then everything seems to kind of go full circle.
Yeah.
And that's what we are. That's what's happening in the industry. Everything is basically just going back around, and it's still like letting the companies know what to do better, but there's still always things that can be done better.
Yeah.
That needs to be done better. I don't know if I even made any sense.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That, oh but, yeah. It definitely, you know, makes sense.
I'm sometimes.
And the reason why everything that we talk about tying to each other, even from previous episode, things from the first episode show up in this episode.
Yeah.
And things from the last episode show up in this episode, right? it just highlights the importance of the topic, the importance of the conversation, and why it needs to be said, why it needs to be heard,
facts,
and why it needs to be reciprocated. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, it's important, because if it was not important, it would never have that effect of all the loose ends keep tying itself together.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm following.
It's important.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, so
yes, sir.
We got into what could corporate do now to, you know, what should they be doing right now?
Yeah.
Let's get into maybe the story. Let's say the story about the maintenance tech that walked out due to burnout or quote unquote, not quote unquote, but truthfully to micromanaging. Can you compare that to a success story where a company that kept their crew happy and a turnover rate dropped to near zero? Is there even a success story to that?
Man, those success stories are like finding a needle in a haystack.
And it shouldn't be that way.
No, it shouldn't be that way.
You should have more success stories for how a company, what companies did to keep their employee.
That is something that is not talked about. The only thing that is talked about, is how much properties this company acquired. They will highlight all the people that they highlight that's bringing in the big bucks or creating the relationship, the brand new relationships and brand new partnerships. It's always people in the top. They are highlighting people on the top and having them come up on stage, give you a trophy. Here you go. Thank you for doing all of this stuff. And then they're going to turn to the crowd and say, all of this is so possible because of all of you. Stop lying. Stop lying. All of a sudden you want to make it inclusive. No. Let it be inclusive from the beginning all the way up to the success that the company is having and the success that the company is continuing to attract.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Now, when you say that, Mike, now that have me thinking about like where the industry can go from here. And that reminds that made me remember about what's going on in Philadelphia right now.
Yeah.
With the waste management or the city workers that are doing the trash.
Yeah, yeah.
And how they are on strike right now because they're asking for fair wages and to make a better living for themselves and their families. And what would happen, like we always say that, if maintenance, you know, tends to drop out today.
Boy.
No one shows up tomorrow.
Listen.
If everybody got on the same page and said, enough is enough. We're not coming in today.
Bro, it would be pandemonium.
Yeah.
It would be pandemonium and chaos. First of all, we are seeing in real time on the news the adverse effects of the workers going on strike, right?
Right.
And that's a city job, right?
That's a city
so
job.
Now the mayor of that city and everybody else in the mayor's office, now they're seeing the importance of how important it is to honor and to respect the people that picked up the trash.
Yeah.
And the reason why they're on strike is because people look at the trash people the same way they look at the trash that they throw out.
Yeah.
And in the apartment industry, it's sad to say, they look at maintenance the same. Maintenance techs are likened onto trash people, the lowest, the bottom of the totem pole, but the most important, right?
Right.
And I hope that apartment owners and people in corporate in the entire apartment industry, bro, they should look at that and take notes.
Agree.
Do not let that come to your front door.
If that happens...
Do not let that come to your front door. You can avoid it by learning from that mistake and applying what you've learned to make your house better.
That's true. And I can agree with you 100%. Like, they shouldn't wait until the last moment because they may not see it now, but I can see something like that happening within this industry, because this is an industry that hasn't been changed for years. And when you have something like what companies are doing now, they're paying us less, asking for more, not giving us any type of beneficial discounts when it comes to living on site or stuff like that. It's bound to, the bottle is shaken up and it's, you know, pressurizing, and it's bound to, like, you know, explode.
Yeah.
And when that happens, it's going to be a terrible thing. So, you know, mark my words, it will happen, and it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time when it's going to happen.
That's it. It's just a matter of when. Take notes and don't let the situation that's going on in Philadelphia come to your front door.
Yeah.
Do something now.
Do something now.
Because in the apartment industry, there's already a shortage of maintenance tech.
Yeah.
And for maintenance technician, they feel less than, because the company makes them feel less than. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, maintenance technicians are likened onto the people that pick up the trash, bro.
That's right.
That's the reason why the people in Philadelphia, they're on strike right now.
Yeah.
And it is, bro, the negative effects, it is showing everybody why they are important and why they deserve the wages that they're asking for. Maintenance technicians deserve better wages.
Way better.
They deserve better wages. You know what I'm saying? So don't wait until the good set of maintenance technicians you have, or the good set of leasing agents you have, decide to up and leave. Because if they're up and leave, then they're going to realize the importance of maintenance technician and how the apartment company as a whole is going to start crumbling.
Exactly.
We are the foundation.
Nothing moves.
And maintenance technician, don't let nobody feel that you are less than, because you are not. Always remember this. The ball is in your court.
Always.
The ball is in your
court. Once you see that and you start noticing your value, trust me, it can start with one place. If everybody decides to say enough is enough, things will change tomorrow.
Man, it will change. And for property owners, don't wait until your employees are so disgruntled and they had enough. Because once they had enough and they reached that breaking point and they leave, you can make a job post the next day, hoping that somebody's going to come. But you would have techs that been in the industry, leave, thinking about coming back. But because of how they were treated on the way out, they will never come back.
Facts.
And there's also a shortage of maintenance tech in the industry.
Sure is.
So the ones that you have, take care of them. If they're asking for better wages, grant them better wages. Because think about this. If they live on property, give them an amazing discount on the apartment that they rent. Like, have them pay $500.
Five is good.
You don't want to do free, have them pay $5, because you can increase the wages of your employees, but they are still struggling to survive. Mm-hmm. And if they live on property, the wages are increased, but the rent keep increasing.
It's even living just on any property.
Yeah, that is true.
Whether they live on site or not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If they live on site, they deserve a discount, and they deserve a substantial discount. If they don't live on site, also, too, they deserve higher wages, because
they do, bro.
Right now, apartments are expensive. So higher wages to afford those apartments, or have them live on site and give them a great discount. So that way their money isn't going from, they're making their paycheck and then they're giving it right back to the company by paying 20% off. You know, what's 20%?
That's nothing.
30%, 40%, 50%, 75% or more.
That sounds funny, but I agree with you, bro. I agree with you. I promise you, man, do right by your employees and watch your company grow.
And they will do right by you.
They will, man. The success of your company is dependent on your employees, depending on how you invest in your employees, man.
Yeah.
You can have shareholders that invest money into your company because they see the growth. And why would the growth of your company attract those shareholders?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the employees you have.
That's right.
And you continue to treat those employees the way they ought to be treated and give them the respect and the value that they deserve, they're going to take you to heights that the imagination cannot even conceive, man.
That's right.
So invest in your employees and they will invest in you.
Well said, Mike.
Yes, sir.
And with that being said, follow the Maintenance Diaries on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube, and leave us a review and send us your stories, everyone.
Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky.
We're on all platforms.
Everything, man. Follow us. And any questions you have, you know, throw it in the chat. W's in the chat.
W's in the chat. Streamer life. We streamers now. Any stories that you have, we will definitely share your stories on the episode.
So yes, for sure.
Feel free to, you know, give us whatever is going on in your life. Give us your funny stories. Give us your horror stories. Doesn't matter. Tell us how you feel. We will read it and we will definitely, you know, share your thoughts as well.
Thank you guys for coming with us in this journey. Peace.
Peace.
Catch you on the next one.
Love. Happiness.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.